أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على خير المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. So I think we're in lesson seven now. We've been going through the ورقات of Imam al-Juwayni رحمه الله. And recently in the last class that we were dealing with commands, Amr in Arabic. Because most of the khitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is addressed to us is made up of commands and prohibitions. That is what Allah's address to us, that is what Him speaking to us as an audience entails. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us commands and giving us prohibitions. And commands, as we mentioned, has two meanings. The one meaning is that it refers to what we have to do. And the second meaning is the wider linguistic meaning of amr, which it refers to everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands of us that we have to do or encourage us to do or permits us to do. And then nahyu on the other side, which is the opposite side of this, which we're going to go into today, is normally translated into English as forbidding or prohibiting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us not to do something. And again, that can be that we are not allowed to do it at all, it's haram. Or it can be that it's disliked, He's discouraging us from doing it, or they're the two main ones. There's another one called khilaf al-awla, which is where it's letting us know that it is the worst of two options. But the main one is prohibition and discouragement. But today we're going to go into nahyu in the main sense of the word nahyu is prohibiting, meaning we're not allowed to do something. So Imam al-Juwayni rahimahullah says, this is still in the section dealing with amr, command, wa amma. And as for nahyu, prohibition, and nafsi, which literally means unspoken in a sense, the essential prohibition before it is addressed to the audience. So the Book of Allah is made up of commands and prohibitions that when they are read out to us, become a command to us, spoken one. But before that, when they are simply a command in the Book of Allah that's not yet been addressed to the mukallafin, they are called a nahyu nafsi, so an unspoken one, in general sense. A nahyu anishay, forbidding a thing. فَقِيلَ إِنَّهُ أَمْرٌ بِضُدِّهِ. So we were talking about this last time, the opposite of this. We said that a command to do something, there is a position that says it is exactly the same thing as forbidding the opposite. And now he's saying, just reversed it. Forbidding something, it is said, is exactly the same as commanding its opposite. So he gives an example. So if I say, don't move, as this is the example he's going to give later, that's the same as saying, be still, according to this first interpretation. وَإِنْ كَانَ وَاحِدًا فَوَاضِحْ. If the opposite of this thing is one thing, stillness and motion, they're inverse. There's no other opposite of still, but being in motion. Then he says here, what he means by this is clear, a command to be still. If there are many things that could be termed the opposite of something, and the example he gave last week was standing up, you could say in some ways that sitting down is the opposite of standing up. You could say that lying down is the opposite of standing up. So there's a number of different things that could possibly be the opposite of standing up, not just one. He says here, if that is the case, it is a command to do one of those things without specifying which. So he says here, if I was to say, don't stand up, he basically says here, according to this first position, that's tantamount to saying either sit down or lie down without specifying which of them I mean. It's the same thing according to this position. Because obviously not standing up entails that you do either one of those things. I suppose you could fly as well, maybe. You have another interpretation of it. Float. وَقِيلَ إِنَّ النَّهْيَ النَّفْسِيَّ لَيْسَ أَمْرًا بِدِدْ قَطْعًا. It's also said that no, that's not the case. If you, this prohibition, unspoken prohibition, before it's become a prohibition in words, before the words are used to make this prohibition, is not the same thing at all as commanding the opposite. They're totally different things. They have totally different implications. That's the second position. And he says the third position here, or he doesn't mention the third position here. He just goes into the nahyul lafzi, amma nahyul lafzi. So this is the spoken prohibition. So as I said, there's an idea of a prohibition, the prohibition itself before it becomes, it goes into words, not standing up. That's what we are being prohibited from doing. Not standing. As soon as I say do not stand, that becomes a nahyu, nahyun lafzi, a spoken prohibition. And these are going into ideas in Aqidah a bit about the difference between the Quran. When we say the Quran is not created, we talk about the Quran not being created, and then you talk about the words of the Quran and how words are sounds and sounds are created. And so they differentiate between the kalam nafsi, the unspoken Quran, the unspoken words of the Quran being uncreated, and the kalam lafzi, when it comes into words, being something created. So that's why they go and differentiate between these terms in order to work out how something that is uncreated can possibly be spoken by us. So that's why they do some of this differentiation. So it's talking about the essential Quran, and then when the Quran is read out to us, like when the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam received a revelation and read it out to his companions, bringing the commands directly to them. So he says, when it's in words, فَلَيْسَ عَيْنُ الْأَمْرُ لَفْظِي قَطْعًا. It is not exactly the same thing as commanding the opposite at all. وَلَا يَتَضَمَّمُهُ عَلَى الْأَصَّحِ. And it doesn't even include that sense of it, according to the most correct position. So we went into this in greater detail. I'm not going to spend a long time because if you can go back into the last class, because it's basically the complete opposite of the last class. So I don't want to waste more time going into much more detail on this. وَقِيلَ, it is also said, يَتَضَمَّنُهُ, that it includes a sense of it, but it's not exactly the same thing as saying it. That's what he means by يَتَضَمَّنُهُ, that is included within the scope of saying, do not be still. Within that scope, it is move, it's part of that, but it is not the whole of it. There are more aspects to it when I say, do not be still, than simply move, according to this sort of thing. Whereas one position says, do not be still and move are identical. And another one says, no, they're completely different. So those are the three basic positions. فَإِذَا قَالَ, if a person says, لَا تَتَحَرَّكْ, he says, do not move. فَكَأَنَّهُ قَالَ, it is if he said, أُسْكُنْ, be still. لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَتَحَقَّقُ التَّحَرُّكْ أو لَا يَتَحَقَّقُ تَرْكُ التَّحَرُّكْ, because leaving, not moving, cannot possibly happen, cannot possibly be achieved, illa bisukun, except with stillness. So anyway, again, this is some of these conversations. They're only specific places when we come to rulings that these things, these slight differentiations, become important, and they go into those in more detail in the more specific texts. وَالنَّهْيُ اِسْتِدْعَاءُ التَّرْكِ. So prohibition, nahyu, this is now the definition of prohibition, the legal definition of prohibition. اِسْتِدْعَاءُ التَّرْكِ is demanding, tark, which means leaving something, which means not doing something. Demanding the not doing of something, bilqawl, with words. So if I was to say, that would not be nahyu, because I'm not using words. Mimman huwa dunahu, from somebody, so it is directed towards somebody who is below you, who is lesser than you, who has not got the same status as you. Clearly, from the Quran, none of us. You can't even make a comparison between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But generally speaking, as we mentioned last week, a command is when somebody who is at a higher level than somebody else tells them to do something, and a prohibition is when somebody at a higher level tells somebody else not to do something. If it is somebody from a lower level asking somebody at a higher level, it's a request. Or actually, more from a lower level, it's more a pleading. Because a request, you might say, is more at a, some people at a similar level, you know. But when you're below somebody, you make dua. Please, 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 will you give me some bread? Like Oliver and Dickens. Some more. May I have some more? ممن هو دونه على سبيل الوجوب. على سبيل الوجوب, by way of making it obligatory. So again, as I said before, there are different types of nahyu in a linguistic sense, because it can include discouragement, but here it's when it's meaning that it is obligatory for the person to not do what you said to them. That is nahyu in its purest sense. إلا أنه يقال هنا قوله no, على وزان ما تقدم في الأمر. So this is basically echoing the definition that he gave for command. So if you were here last week, we mentioned what his definition for command was, and he uses almost precisely the same language here with just a few minor differences. He says here, it echoes what he said before. إلا أنه يقال هنا, except in this definition it says استدعاء الترك instead of استدعاء الفعل, instead of doing the action or demanding that the action be done, it's demanding the leaving of the action. And this, by saying this, is مخرجٌ, excludes الأمر. Because as we said before, all of this would fit for al-amr, except if we change the word fi'l for tark. Same definition would apply exactly. So by using tark, he's saying, okay, we're not talking about amr here, we're talking about something else. And it is nahyu. وَقَوْلُهُ هُنَا عَلَى سَبِيلِ الْوُجُوبِ أَيْ بِأَنَّهُ لَا يَجُوزُ لَهُ الْفِعْلِ. When he says here, when he says by way of obligation, he says it means that it is not permitted for the person you are addressing to do it. It is not allowable. He's not allowed to do it. But he says here, this is مُخْرِجٌ لِلنَّهِي عَلَى سَبِيلِ الْكَرَاهَا. By this, he excludes this other form of nahi, which is when you make something disliked, when on the basis of it being disliked. He said here, because if something is merely disliked, it is yajuzu lahu al-fi'l. He is permitted to do it. So if I say, don't, let's say something in the Maliki Madhab, don't say the basmala in the Fatiha when you're praying. Yeah? If you then say it, you haven't done something that's forbidden to you. It's permitted for you to do it, but you've just gone against what is liked for you. You've done something that is disliked for you. So it is permitted. Whereas if I said, don't eat during the day in Ramadan, it's not permitted for you to do that thing, to eat during the day in Ramadan. There's, I mean, except if certain conditions are met, but we're talking about in an unqualified sense. وَلَا يُعْتَبَرُ فِيهِ أَيْضًا عُلُوٌّ وَلَا اسْتِعْلَاءٌ. He says here, and also, no consideration is paid here to whether somebody really is higher than the other person, or whether somebody simply sees himself as being higher than the other person, in terms of our definition of nahyu. He says here, we're not paying any attention to whether it's actual somebody being above somebody else, or somebody simply having conceit and thinking himself above somebody else. That same type of words that are used are still called nahyu, even though a person is not really above somebody else. إِلَّا أَنَّ النَّهْيَ الْمُطْلَقُ مُقْتَدٍ لِلْفَوْرِ وَالتَّكْرَارِ. Except there is a difference between this and command. And we mentioned before there was a difference of opinion about commands, whether a command had to be done immediately. So if I said to you, go on Hajj, is the implication that you have to go right now, or that you can go at any time in the future? There's a difference of opinion. And if I say to you, go on Hajj, is the implication that you have to keep on going on Hajj until the end of your life, or that you do it once? Again, differences of opinion. But when it comes to Nahyu, if I say do not eat in Ramadan, during the day in Ramadan, that automatically implies immediacy. The first day of Ramadan that you come to, you're not allowed to eat straight away. And that also implies takrar, that it's repeated prohibition. Every time you come to a day in Ramadan, you're not allowed to do it. Similarly, if I said don't move, the implication of don't move is don't move right now and continue not moving until I reverse it and say move. That's the implication of a prohibition. Whereas if I said be still, he's saying there's a difference of opinion whether that implies right now, that you have to be still right now, or whether it implies that you have to keep on doing it. Might be still for a second. So he says that is an essential difference between a command and a prohibition here. فَيَجِبُ الْإِنْتِهَاءُ عَلَى الْحَالِ So when you receive a prohibition, it's like the prohibition against drinking alcohol. The moment that was made a prohibition, it says here, يَجِبُ الْإِنْتِهَاءُ فِي الْحَالِ It is an obligation to stop doing it immediately, straight away, no delay. وَاسْتِمْرَارُ الْكَفِّ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأَزْمَانِ And to keep on stopping from doing it in every moment of your life. بِجَمِيعِ الْأَزْمَانِ لِأَنَّ التَّرْكَ الْمُطْلَقِ إِنَّمَا يُصَدَّقُ بِذَلِكَ وَإِنَّمَا يَصْدُقُ بِذَلِكَ Because unqualified leaving of something, tark, it's only true to say something is tark and in an unqualified form of tark if that happens. Otherwise, it's not the case. So it's a linguistic thing, basically. Stopping something is an immediate thing, linguistically, whereas commanding somebody to do something doesn't have the can be true linguistically, even if the person doesn't do it straight away. وَيَدُلُّ النَّهْيُ الْمُطْلَقُ شَرْعًا عَلَى فَسَادِ الْمَنْهِي عَنْ And this unqualified prohibition, in terms of the law, by the law we mean the law of the deen, the divine law, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law, Islam, يَدُلُّ indicates فَسَادِ الْمَنْهِي عَنْ That the thing that you are prohibited from doing is fasid, is unsound, is invalid, has got something corrupt and wrong with that thing. By the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands to us what is best for us as well. So the things he's telling us not to do, there is something inherently unsound in them. This is in when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us prohibition in the book. Shar'an, in terms of the shar' al-asah, this is the strongest position, the most valid position in the Malikiyya or Shafi'i, according to the Malikis and the Shafi'is. In other words, some of the other madhabs may differ about this, that it entails that the action is necessarily unsound in some way. But this is the position of Imam Malik and the position of Imam Shafi'i according to their strongest positions. وَسَوَاءٌ كَانَ الْمَنْهِي عَنْ عِبَادَةٌ Regardless of whether the thing you are prohibited from doing is connected to ibadah, is connected to an act of worship, such as, or is an act of worship in itself, كَسَوْمِ يَوْمِ الْعِيدِ Like fasting the day of Eid. So, he's saying here, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, do not fast the day of Eid, what does that indicate for you if you do fast the day of Eid? No, it means that if you do fast the day of Eid, that thing you have done is not going to be valid. It's an invalid fast. That's what he means by being unsound or corrupt inherently, in that if you do that action that you are commanded not to do, or you're forbidden from doing, there won't be any validity in that action in terms of it won't meet the basic things of being that action. Like, don't marry your biological sister. If you do marry your biological sister, it's not a valid marriage. There's no validity to it. So it indicates automatically this, which is the second one here we're going to come to. But even if it's an akt, it indicates the invalidity of the action you are prohibited from doing. Yeah? Is that understood? أو عقدا كالبيوع المنهي عنه. Or he says here, or it's a transaction, because the deen is mu'amala, ibadah wa mu'amala. So by aqd, he's saying mu'amalat, transactions. And ibadah to the things that we have between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although there will be elements connected to other people as well. Whereas transactions are between human beings, and there are laws that are set for us that set limits on what we can do when we transact with other human beings, such as riba, for example, or gharar, and things of that nature. So he says here, there are certain types of transaction between ourselves. For example, let me give you an example. Salafun jarra naf'an, a loan that brings benefit, that brings profit. If I lend you 1,000 and says, you have to pay me back 1,100. Well, there's other ways that you can bring benefit as well. If I lend you 1,000 and say, you know, I can make a condition that you look after my house, and I'll lend you the 1,000, whatever it is. But any type of loan that brings benefits is prohibited. So basically, he's saying here that if you do that thing, that whole transaction is nullified. It's invalid from the start. It's not considered to be a valid transaction. So it has to be reversed when it comes to a transaction. Because an invalid transaction has to be reversed or annulled. Such as, for example, if somebody, as I mentioned, accidentally marries their sister by suckling, somebody who was suckled by the same mother, they didn't know, but they later find out, that automatically invalidates their marriage, even though they didn't know about it at the time. It's not like they have to divorce it and it was a valid marriage, and it's simply, no, it's gone. So it's invalid. وَاحْتَرَزْنَا بِالْمُطْلَقِ. And he says here, when I say النَّهْيُ الْمُطْلَقِ, an absolute, unqualified prohibition, by that we are, again, he's sort of, you know, exempting here, or we are protecting ourselves against, literally. أَمَّا إِذَا اقْتَرَنَ بِهِ مَا يَقْتَضِي عَدَمَ الْفَسَادِ. A situation where some other factor is connected to that thing that stops it from being invalid. So, you know, in certain circumstances, certain things that would be invalid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows them to be valid. There are various circumstances of that nature. He's often in, as he mentions here, in certain types of buyu', certain types of transactions of sales, that if a certain precondition is then met, something that otherwise would be invalid can be validated by the presence of that factor. So that's a qualifying factor. So basically he's saying, that's why he said an-nahyul mutlaq, an absolute prohibition, not one where exists some sort of qarina, some sort of thing that can make that thing permissible in certain circumstances, which is usually illa, except if. عدم الفساد كما في صور البيوع المنهي عنها, as in certain circumstances or types of prohibited sales, certain suwar, certain forms of that happening, certain cases of that. وسقطت هذه المسألة من نسخة المحلي. He said al-Mahalli, the one who gave the sharh of al-Juwayni, the Shafi'i sharh, Imam al-Mahalli, he did not mention this particular issue here that we've just been discussing now, and it was not present in his commentary on the text. But this is something that al-Khattab added because he saw benefit in it. وَتَرِدُ صِيغَةُ الْأَمْرِ وَالْمُرَادُ بِهِ أي بِالْأَمْرِ الْإِبَاحَةِ. So we touched on this yesterday. He said sometimes the imperative form, if'al, do, in Arabic, if'al, can be used, and the intended meaning of it, of that command, is إباحة, is to make something permitted. كما تقدم, as we mentioned before, we mentioned this last week. He said here, أو التهديد, or sometimes you can use the فعل أمر, إفعل, for the purpose of threatening somebody. He says here, نحو إعملوا ما شئتم. In this particular thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not actually commanding the kuffar to keep on doing their actions. It's a threat. If you continue to do this, see what happens. See what you bring on yourselves. But ostensibly, on the surface, it's telling them to do it. But that's not the meaning. اعملوا ما شئتم. Do what you want. أو التسوية. Or sometimes the meaning of this particular imperative form can be to show how two things are the same. They're the same thing is attached to both of them. The same consequence is attached to both things. There's no difference between the two things. He says like, اسبروا أو لا تصبروا. Have patience or don't have patience. On the surface, that seems to be very strange. He's commanding us first to have patience and then the next second saying, oh, don't do it. It's like we're being commanded and prohibited from doing the same thing. That's not the purpose of the ayah. It's not to say, have patience as a direct command that we have to do it. Or have sabr, and then a direct command, do not have sabr, as if like it's completely immaterial. No, it's saying it doesn't make any difference in these circumstances, whether you do or not. Awit takween, or sometimes the fi'l al-amr, the imperative form can be used for creating. Well, this is in terms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creating something, bringing it into being. He says here, Hunu qiradatan khasi'in. Be sort of lowly, what is the word? Apes or monkeys. He's not telling them to do that. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using the word like kun fayakun. Be and it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not telling them to do it. He is basically changing them and using the word be to indicate that they are being changed. See that you are now. You are being turned into. So Babul Am. So we finished that section, which is Amr. The next book here, the next section here relates to Al-Am wal-Khas. Al-Am wal-Khas. In English, we would translate these terms as general and specific. Something that has a generalized meaning and something that particularizes or qualifies or specifies something. So the first of these is Bab al-Am. He says, وَأَمَّا الْعَام فَهُوَ مَا عَمَّ شَيْئَيْنِ فَصَائِدًا. When we use the term Am, it is what encompasses or what, I'm again using the same term, what is general to two things or more. So it's never referring to one thing. You can't have something am when it only refers to one thing. It's two and up. So, but without specifying a number, min ghayri hasl. So, for example, it might be mankind. That is general, mankind. If I was to say a man, a particular man, that's not general. That's referring to something specific. If I said two men exactly, again, that's specific. It's not general because it's specific to two men. If I said 17 men, again, it's specific. It's not general. So general is something that relates to two or more of something without specifying exactly how many. Is that clear? That's what we mean by general. So he's going to, because the opposite is khas. And sometimes specific can mean 17 people. That can be specific. As we're going to come to, for example, they all entered the stadium except for 17 of them. 17 of them is specific. They all is general in English. So he says here, وَهُوَ مَعْخُوذٌ مِنْ قَوْلِهِ. It is taken from one saying, So where this particular term am, he says he has taken from this the statement that some people might make, amamtu zaydan wa amran bil ata. I was general, do I included both Zayd and Amr in my giving. So it is something that goes over all of them. It includes and brings everyone into the same zone, basically. Amamtu. It goes over, includes whoever is mentioned. So it's inclusive in a sense. So basically an am thing is something which includes. And khas is something which excludes, as we're going to come to. So you assume when you have am that it includes everybody, everybody who's addressed, everybody who's talked about. That's the assumption when something is am. He says here, وَعَمَمْتُ جَمِيعَ النَّاسِ بِالْأَطَاعِ. Or you might say, I encompass everybody, all of the people, with the giving. My giving was given to everybody. They were all included in my giving to people. أي شملتهم. In other words, I included all of them. ففي العام شمول. When we say something is عام, it has an inclusiveness to it. وفي بعض النسخ مثل عممت زيدا وعمرا ولا يصح ذلك. He says in some versions of the text, it simply said, I was general to Zayd and Amr without adding bil ata. And he says that's not really permitted to say that. لِأَنَّ عَمِمْتُ زَيْدًا وَعَمْرًا لَيْسَ مِنَ الْعَامِ الَّذِي يُرِيدُ بَيَانًا. Because that statement, عَمَمْتُ زَيْدًا, I included both Zayd and Amr, is not an example of the general that he's trying to explain here. It doesn't really give us any sense of what he means by the general. The general thing is the act of giving that includes Zayd and Amr. It doesn't exclude either of them. That's what he means here and what he's trying to explain. If he simply said, I was general to Zayd and Amr, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't help explain what he's trying to explain by means of that example. So he said it's not valid to give the example like that, which some versions of this text have done, because it doesn't explain anything in terms of what he means by am. وقوله ما عم الشيئين فصاعدا جنس. So he says, when he says what is general to or includes two things or more, it is a jinsun يشتمل على المثنى. It is a class, a genus, a category. That includes the jewel, such as two men, and includes all the asma al-adad, all of the various different numbers, such as three, four, and so on. So it includes all of them. It doesn't specify, doesn't single out any of them. So what he means is the number of people he is speaking about when he makes this general statement could just be two people, but he hasn't been specified when he says it. So for example, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to say, was to speak about mankind in the time of Adam and Hawa, it would only be two people at that time. But it would still be a general statement. And sometimes there might be situations where you speak generally about something, but the total number of that thing is only three or four or five. So it doesn't specify any of them, but includes all of those in terms of how many there might be of that thing. من وقولنا من غير حصر. When we say without limit, without sort of, حصر is often the term they use to explain exception. So you've confined it to a particular thing. So for example, if I add the word three, it confines the number of men to just that number, three and no more, no less. It says here, it's only general when there is no confinement of that sort. فصل مخرج للمثنى. This particular thing that he added here to the definition allows us to exclude the muthanna and the asma al-adad. To exclude it, if I say something in the jewel and exclude my saying a particular number. Yeah? Although you can still exclude things that are numbers, as I said before, I paid you 10 except for 7. Yeah. I'm excluding 7 from 10, but 10 is not general. It's not am. So we're talking about am here, not that something can't be excluded from something which is a number. But if I say I paid you 10, that's already specified something. That can't be considered am because it's a number. And no number can be considered am. That's what he's saying here. When the number is referring to things. If we're talking about a number in itself, maybe there are philosophical ways that you could talk about a number being general. فإنها تتناول شيئين فصاعدا لكنها تنتهي إلى غاية محظورة. So each of those things, when I say two men didn't stand, yeah, I'm talking about think that when I say two men, that indicates two or more, yes, but it's a specified endpoint, or it's you there is you've cut off how many it could be. Ghayatin mahsura, you have confined it to a certain amount, so it can't be general. So general here, he's going to explain what is general in the next one. He says, "Wa alfadhu ay siyagh al-umum al-mawdu'atu lah." So the words, the ways in Arabic. The letters, or the words in Arabic, or the things that you enunciate in Arabic in order to express that something is general, are four, arba'a. A arba'atu anwa. There are four different types of ways in which you can make something general. Nawal awal, al-ism al-wahid al-mu'arraf bil-alif wal-lam. The first type is a singular word that is Mu'arraf, that is made definite with Alif Lam. So here he says, he gives an example in a bit, but he says, Allati laysat lil ahd, wala lil haqiqa. So this Alif Lam, when we say something, we add Alif Lam in Arabic. There are different meanings that could be attached to that. For example, if I said, I saw a man and the man hit me. Yeah. What is the reason for the in the second part of the sentence? Because we already know who the man is from the context. So it's lil ahad in Arabic. Because we know it is known to us the man to who he's being referred. When I say al there, the man, I don't mean men in general. I mean a specific man who is now known to the listener. It's used in this way for Asa Fir'aun al-Rasula, for example. When Allah mentions that a messenger came to Fir'aun and Fir'aun disobeyed the messenger, it's referring back to that specific messenger. So Al is not always the same meaning in Arabic. Even in English, when we say that, it doesn't always have the same sense. So here he's saying the first one. What he says here is haqis, but it doesn't always, it's referring to, so, or a reality of something. For example, it might say al jahil, or you know, al qawi, the strong defeats the weak. It's like a general rule, the strong defeat the weak. But it doesn't mean every strong person defeats every weak person. So it's not a general statement in that way. But it's talking about the reality of somebody who meets this quality is that this will happen. But it's not what we're talking about here, it's not am. Because it doesn't mean every single one in that particular context. It's talking about the reality of that quality. So there are different ways that these things are used. فَإِنَّهُ يُفِيدُ الْعُمُومِ بِدَلِيلِ جَوَازِ الْإِسْتِثْنَاءِ مِنْهُ So when you use Alif Lam, and it's not for these two things, then it gives the meaning of generality. It's inclusive. And the proof of this is the permissibility of doing exception from it, adding illa, having an exception from it. He says here, for example, inna linsana lafi khusr. Inna, we can ignore for the moment, because that's just something to make the what comes after stronger and intensive. Al insan. So the alif lam here. Al insan. What is an insanun? A man. Al insan. The man. The man is in loss. When we say that, what do we mean by that? Is there a particular man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to here? Is it that man being the reality of manhood makes you in loss? No, it's not. It's neither of those two things. It's referring to mankind. How do we know? What is the proof? He says here by the fact that we can say illa after it. So man is in loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, except for those who have iman. So you've excluded from the generality a group of people. And the fact that you can exclude from something usually indicates, apart from that specific context where I gave you of 10 and things like that, but when the thing is not one of those numbers, and it's not in a particular dual form or a particular numbered form, then being able to exclude from it proves that it's a general meaning. So this proves that innal insana, the meaning here is all men and women, all of mankind are in loss. All of them, except for those who believe. So that's the first one, is adding alif lam to a singular word. That's the first way you get generality. والنوع الثاني اسم الجمع المعرف باللام. The second type is the plural. So instead of insan, we could say nas. Yeah? This is the same thing, adding alif lam to it. It has exactly the same sense. In fact, in English, often the way we do this general thing is with the singular. Very often. A man can be done that way, in fact. But not in Arabic in that same sense. So this is done with alif lam, either added to the singular or added to the plural, which gives you a general meaning. So, nas, ya ayyuhan nas, it's all mankind, not just a specific group. So, ismul jama', which is one that indicates a group, al mu'arraf bil lam, made definite with the lam, allati laysat lil ahd, which is not, again, because of something that we to show us somebody that we've already spoken about, tell us about somebody we've already spoken about, something that's known to us. So ra'aytu nasan fis sahra fan nasu dakhalu al madina. If I said I saw some people in the desert and the people entered Medina, again we would know we're referring back to the people I saw in the desert, but that's not the one that is am. It is only when it is, you know, has a general meaning and hasn't been mentioned in speech beforehand. Like uqtulul mushrikeen, as he says, fight the idolaters, fight the associators, those who associate with Allah. والنوع الثالث الأسماء المبهمة كمان بمن يعقل. The third type is what he calls the sort of general, or the not obscure, but the words that are non-specific nouns. He says, like the word man in Arabic, which can be translated in English as who. He says here, fi man ya'qal, for those who have aql. So Arabic has one word, man, which you add. If I would say, you find it in the hadith often, whoever does this, man yaf'al, man fa'ala hakada, whoever does that, for example, is referring to people who have intellects, or it could be jinn, but beings that have intellect, man. And that's a general thing. When you use man, it refers to everyone. You could translate it as everyone, man. Doesn't need to be translated necessarily as who. نحو من دخل داري فهو آمن. Whoever enters my house, he is safe. Yeah? Whoever enters my house, he is safe. Or whoever entered. Is that limiting it to any particular group of people when he says that? It means anyone, anyone who has an aql, who enters my house, that person is safe. وَمَا فِيمَا لَا يَعْقَلْ. And the word ma, which you might translate in English as what, whatever, for things that don't have an aql. He says, نَحْوُ مَا جَاءَنِي قَبِلْتُ. Whatever comes to me, I accept it. What comes to me, I accept it. مَا جَاءَنِي قَبِلْتُ. وَأَيْ. And there's another word you might see sometimes in the Quran or even in the Hadith, أَيْ, or أَيَّمَا sometimes. That word as well, أَيْ, has the same meaning as these two. It can mean what or who. We often translate it in English as which. So he says, fil jami', for both those things that have an aql and those things that don't, for everything. You can use this term a to refer to all of them. A, he says here, fil jami'. If you hear some sound in the background, there's some people praying. So we'll continue, inshallah. But there's some people praying in the background. Just one away. We don't usually allow second jama'as in the Maliki madhab anyway. Man ya'qal wa man la ya'qal. So when he says jami', it means those things that have intellect and those things that do not have intellect, like ayyu abidi ja'aka, whichever of my slaves comes to you, fa ahsin ilay, act well towards him. Fa ayyu, so he uses ay here. It doesn't say man, it rather says ayyu ibadiki. So it allows you to specify more than man will. You can say which of something. وَأَيُّ الْأَشْيَاءَ أَرَدْتَهُ أَعْطَيْتُكَ. Whichever of the things you want, I will give to you. So it's things and people. وَأَيْنَ فِي الْمَكَانِ. So another one of these words is أَيْنَ. أَيْنَ. And this refers to places. Where? نَحْوَ أَيْنَ تَجْلِسْ أَجْلِسْ. Wherever you sit, I will sit. Again, أَيْنَ is not specific to a particular place. It's general to all places. وَمَتَى فِي الزَّمَانِ. Another word is meta. The word meta in Arabic, referring specifically to time, he says, نَحْوُ مَتَى تَقُمْ أَقُمْ. When you stand, I will stand. Again, he's not limiting it to a specific time. It's general to all time. So these are all words that when they are used, you know that the meaning is general and not specific. وَمَا فِي الْإِسْتِفْهَامِ. And again, ma, but in a different sense, when ma is used to mean what? Fil istifham, to ask a question. For example, nahwu ma indik. What do you have? What is literally in your possession, is with you? Ma indaka. Again here, he's asking in general. He's not asking which of, in this particular category of things, what do you have? When it's spoken like this, what is just general to everything that's in Dhaka, he's asking about it. Wa fil jaza, ay al mujazat, and again the word ma, when it's used for recompense, nahu ma taf'al tujza bihi, whatever you do, you will be rewarded for it. So again, it's referring to things and referring to actions in a sense, deeds as well as things, ma. But it's not specific to anyone. وَفِي نُسْخَ وَالْخَبَرِ. And in another version of the text, it adds a few more things here. وَالْخَبَرِ يَدُلُّ الْجَزَاءَ نَحْوُ قَوْلُكَ عَلِمْتُ مَا عَلِمْتَ. So a statement that indicates recompense, like when he says, I know what you know. So you're making a statement, you're not asking a question. But the ma is being used in the same sense here. Whatever, all of the things. Bina al-mutakallim fil-awwal wa ta al-khitab fil-thani. So he's saying here that the first ta, alimtu, is to, because it's for the one who's saying the action. And the second ta is al-khitab, alimta, the one that's addressed to somebody else. So it's he's just saying here that the first ta indicates the first person, the second ta is this in this example that he's given indicates the second person. Jawaban liman qala lak, this is a response to somebody who says to you, ma alimta, what do you know? Then the answer, I know what you know. Again, he's just saying that the ma here, he's not specified exactly what it is, it's general. So again, it's just saying here, the way this is done is either through specific words that have this meaning of generality, or alif lam that's added to either the singular or the plural. Well, no, Rabi. Oh, he says here, well, jaza wa ghayrihi, in other or other words that are general, that have a general sense, and they're known in the Arabic language. He says here, I'm not going to go into an exhaustive detailing of every single word in Arabic that has a general meaning. Look into it yourself, but there are others. This is not an exhaustive list, it only covers some of them. And he says, in other words, other than what is mentioned, he says, like, for example, the one that was added in some texts, khabar, and jaza, that was mentioned in the second text, other versions of this thing. Well, no, Rabi, la. The fourth thing is this word, la, la. Fil nakirat. When you add the word la to words that do not have alif lam, then it has a specific effect, especially when you put a fatha on the final on the thing that la rajul. You can say la rajulun fid dar, for example, or you can make it even stronger, la rajula fid dar. But la rajulun fid dar even means that there is no men at all. It's not referring to a specific man. So this particular word la negates the need for the noun to have alif lam on it when you use it in that way. It's called la nafiya lil jins in grammar. A la that negates the whole category. So it's put before a singular noun, a noun in the singular, and it has the meaning of nothing of what is of that particular word exists. Or if I say fiddar, nothing of those types is in there. So if I said la rajula fiddar, that would mean that there's no male human being in the house of any sort. Not that just so and so is not there, but everybody, nobody. He says here, a dakhila ala nakirat, when it is put before the nakirat, fa in bunyat in nakira ma'aha ala al-fath, when the nakira word, like rajulun, is given a fatha at the end that it can't move from, it's fixed upon a fatha. Nahu la rajula fi dar, like there is no man in the house. But here nasum fil umum, it is proof that it is general. And he says here, if the word is not fixed, so if I say la rajulun instead of la rajula, because I can say both. I can say la rajulun fid dar or la rajula fid dar. If I say la rajula fid dar, it 100% means that there is no man whatsoever in the house. If I say la rajulun fid dar, he says here, on the surface, it means that there is the apparent meaning is that there is no man in the house, but it could potentially mean that there it's referring to a specific man. Yeah? So that's the difference here. If I say la rajula fid dar, there's no doubt. 100%. It means there's no man in the house whatsoever. If I say la rajulun fid dar, Your understanding from that on the, is that there is no man whatsoever in the house, but it could also potentially mean that he's referring to a specific man. So it opens the door a little bit. That's the difference between the two. وَالْعُمُومُ مِنْ صِفَاتِ النُّطْقِ. So he says here, this thing of being general is one of the attributes of something that is uttered, something that is spoken, a lafz, sound that comes out of the mouth. وَالنُّطْقُ مَصْدَر بِمَعْنَى مَنْتُوقُ. And when we say nutq here, it comes from the word nataqa, which is to utter something, to make a sound. Mentioned in the Quran about sometimes your limbs, Allah will make your limb, will allow your limbs to speak out against you. But it means to something to speak out, to make it make a sound. He says here, when we say nutq here, we're not actually talking about the action of doing it. We're talking about the thing that is uttered, the words that come out, the mantuq, the utterance. Not the uttering, but the utterance. ولا يجوز دعوى العموم في غيره أي في غير اللفظ من الفعل وما يجري مجراه. It is not permitted to claim generality for other things apart from these. These are the only things that you can 100% say by law will mean that it is general. He says here are other things than this that do not match these particular four things that we've mentioned here. Even such as a verb being used seemingly in a general sense or however it is, or anything else that is being used like a verb, they do not indicate generality. It's only nouns that indicate generality. بالفعل Or it can mean here also, not a verb here, but more the action of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. So here he's basically we're differentiating here between statements or things that are found in the written Quran or the words that are transmitted to us of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he specifically said things, and actions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which cannot be interpreted as having the same level of generality. So he says here, like jam'ihi alayhi salatu wa salam bayna salatain is safar. Like when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam joined between the prayers when he was traveling, which is rawahul Bukhari. This is an action of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was transmitted to us from Imam al-Bukhari. فلا يدل على عموم الجمع في السفر. The fact that he did this while he was traveling in that hadith, and he's reported to have done it, is not an indication that that joining the prayer is something that you always do in travel when traveling. The action, the Messenger of Allah joining the prayers in that particular journey without it being specified why, or any particular limits to that, is not a proof that shortening the prayer is general to travel. There may be other proofs, spoken ones, but that itself is not considered to be a proof. Because he's saying here that something being general has to be enunciated, and it has to be in the form of one of these things we've mentioned. Simply the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam having done it is not an indication of it being a general rule. He says here, وَلَا يَضُلُّ عَلَىٰ عُمُومِ الْجَمْءِ فِي السَّفَرِ الطَّوِيلِ وَالْقَصِيرِ in all forms of travel, whether it's short or near. So he simply says that he traveled while he explains that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam joined while traveling. It doesn't say whether the length of the travel, what the length of the journey was. It simply says he joined while traveling. That is not a proof that then the prayer is always shortened in every form of journey, no matter how fast, no matter how short that journey or how long that journey. فَإِنَّهُ إِنَّمَا وَقَعَ فِي وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا. Because it only happened in one of those two types of journeying, whether it was long or whether it was short. So you don't know the details simply from the fact the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was described to do that. Him being described to say that he joined the prayer between the two prayers on a journey is not enough to make that specific as-safar, because the term here, as-safar, has alif lam, doesn't it? Yeah? So when we said fis safar, you would indicate traveling in general, yes? Because it's not specified what type of traveling. He hasn't mentioned about the travel beforehand. So you would assume then that when it says in the hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam joined the prayers in the safar, that would be specific to all forms of safar. No? That would be the assumption. But he says here, no. That doesn't apply. It's only when it's when it's something that's said to you, can you then make the assumption that it is general. When it is a description of something that somebody did, you can't make the assumption that that particular alif lam is indicating complete generality to all types of safar. So he's saying here, in fact, the reality is that this only applies to one form of travel, which is travel when it is long, not travel when it is short. So it's not applying to all, it's not general. Even though it's expressed in a general way, but it's not nutq, it's not something that's said. It's a description of an action. That's just the different ways that they view evidence, basically. والذي يجري مجرى الفعل فالقضايا المعينة. So something which is considered to be the same as an action are specific rulings that might have been given at various times. He says, like even the rulings of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he says, مثل قضائه صلى الله عليه وسلم بالشفعة للجار. Such as when the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم made a ruling that a particular neighbor, so this is a situation, shuf'a, where I have something, property, and I want to sell that property. So I find somebody and I sell that property to them. Now, shuf'a means that if somebody has shuf'a, it means that they can come and they can annul that sale and take it from me at the same price that I sold it. Because, for example, maybe that neighbor doesn't want to be next to this person I sold it to. But anyway, in this particular case, he said the fact that the Messenger of Allah made this ruling that so-and-so's neighbor had the right to shuf'a, he could cancel the sale that he'd made to that other person and take it from him at the same price, was not a general ruling. It was specific to that instance. So the fact that he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, made certain judgments in certain circumstances does not automatically make them general. Rawahu al-Nisa'i and al-Hasan mursalan. So this particular hadith was narrated by Imam al-Nisa'i from al-Hasan mursalan. So with the companion missing. So it was al-Hasan, who was one of the tabi'in, mentioned it from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without mentioning the name of the tabi'i. But he says anyway, it's about a judgment of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how that particular judgment is very same to the actions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This wasn't something the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did himself. This is not one of his actions, nor is this one of his statements. Rather, this is, so two people, disputants, came to him and he passed judgment. So that judgment, even if he made the judgment in words, is not considered to be the same as him making a general statement to people outside of making a judgment. It doesn't encompass, it doesn't include every neighbor. Because of the probability or the possibility that it might have been specific to that particular neighbor. Maybe there were certain circumstances in the way that they, or the, you know, or even the person that he sold it to, Allah knows best, or maybe they shared a place at the front that he was comfortable with that person and wouldn't be comfortable with another person, and so on and so forth. There's loads of potential reasons why it could be specific, but we don't know. Bab al-Khas. So we'll do a little bit more of the khas, which is qualification or particularization or specification, something which specifies or particularizes something, a qualifier. Babul khas. Wal khas yuqabilu al-am. He says the khas is the opposite of the am. فَيُقَالُ فِي تَعْرِيفِهِ هُوَ مَا لَا يَتَنَاوَلُ شَيْئَيْنِ فَصَعِدًا. So when you, if we were to define it, we would say it is that which does not include two things and up. The opposite of what it was. We said that an am is something which includes two things and up. He says it is what does not include two things and up, مِنْ غَيْرِ حَصَبٍ, without specifying them. It's very important, that last bit, without specifying them, because it can include two things and up if they are specified, but not if they are unspecified. بَلْ إِنَّمَا يَتَنَاوَلُ شَيْئًا مَحْصُورًا. It only relates to a specific, limited, defined thing, or group of things. إِمَّا وَاحِدًا, either whether it's in the singular, one of them, أو إثنين, or two, أو ثلاثًا, or three, أو أكثر من ذلك. Like, رَجُلٌ وَرَجُلَيْنِ وَثَلَاثَةُ رِجَالٍ. All of those statements, رَجُلٌ, رَجُلَانِ, ثَلَاثَةُ رِجَالٍ, they are all specific statements, even though on the surface they have more than one, a couple of them. والتخصيص, qualification or particularization, is tamyizu, sort of singling out, ba'dul jumla, part of the sentence, part of the group, part of the general grouping. أي إخراج بعد الجمل التي يتناولها اللفظ العام. So it is excluding some of the groupings that are covered by the general word. He says here, كإخراج المعاهدين ومعاهدين من قوله تعالى اقتل المشركين. Such as when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fight the mushrikun, fight the associators, those who worship others alongside Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you look in the beginning of Surah Tawbah, excludes people who are mushrikun from that. And they are the people who have an ahd with the Muslims. They have a treaty with the Muslims. As soon as somebody has a treaty, even though they are mushrikun, you're no longer allowed to fight them while they have that treaty with you. So this statement, fight the mushrikeen, on the surface, it's every single mushrik. Fight every single person who is a mushrik. Yeah? But the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions categories of people who are mushrikun, who are not fought, indicate those that whenever he mentions those things, they qualify that statement. They particularize it. They make it not general to those categories of people, which is the mu'ahideen, those who have an ahd with the Muslims, those who have a treaty with the Muslims. That's one example. وَهُوَ أَيْ الْمُخَصِّصِ بِكَسْرِ الصَّاد الْمَفْهُومِ مِنَ التَّخْصِيصِ. And he says it, and he is saying here that it doesn't mean particularization or qualification. It refers to the thing that qualifies. And he says here that is implied by takhsis. Sometimes actually you, as I said, you use the what's called in Arabic the mustar, the word that describes the action, to indicate the doer of the action or the thing to which the action is done. So he's saying here he's being used when he says huwa really should go back to something that's been mentioned before. If you use what's in, if you use a pronoun in any language, if I say he, you have to have some understanding of who I'm referring to. It. If I say it, and I simply start saying, it happened to me the other day. What do you get from that? Very little. So when you use a pronoun like he or she or it, so there should be something to indicate what you are referring to. Now this word here, mukhassis, that he says this word huwa means, is not mentioned anywhere. Go back in the text. He's not mentioned mukhassis. So what does huwa refer back to? It actually refers back to takhsis. But he's using it here in the sense of the actual thing that specifies, not in the sense of the act of specifying. So he's saying here it's an implication. People, you often use a verb to indicate the doer of that verb. Is that understood? That's what he means by this particular. I'm just explaining the Arabic here rather than it being complicated to understand what he's saying. وَهُوَ يَنْقَسِمْ. So the particularizers, qualifiers, may be divided into basically two types here. مُتَّصِلْ وَمُنْفَصِلْ. And we touched on that a little bit in the last class. مُتَّصِلْ is something which is connected. He says here, وَهُوَ مَا لَا يَسْتَقِلُّ بِنَفْسِهِ. It is something that does not stand on its own. It makes no sense on its own. بَلْ يَكُونُ مَذْكُورًا مَعَ الْعَامِ. Rather, it is something which is already mentioned alongside the thing that is general. It's included within it, in other words. So, let me give you an example. The men came except for three. That three is included within the men. It's not separate from it. It doesn't make sense on its own, except for three. You don't know who we're talking about. It only makes sense in the light of the first part of the sentence, which is the men. So that general thing is necessary for you to understand the exclusion from it, the exception from it. So it's included within it, which is called muttasil. But then you have another example, which is the munfasil, which we're coming to now, is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمُ إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. The angels, all of them, did sajda, prostrated, except for Iblis. If it was muttasil, that would mean Iblis was by necessity an angel. But it's not, because this is the second type, where the exception is talking about something which has got nothing to do with the first type whatsoever, separate from it. As a proof of that, kana min al-jinni, he mentions elsewhere. Iblis was one of the jinn. But although some people disagree because they say the word jinn simply refers to those things that are unseen. So it could include, according to some of the interpretations, the angels. But the strongest position is that Iblis was not one of the angels. But anyway, wa munfasil, the second type is munfasil, disconnected. An exception which is disconnected, a qualifier that is not connected to what comes before. Here, وَهُوَ مَا يَسْتَقِلُّ بِنَفْسِهِ. It is something that stands on its own. It has its own internal sense to it. وَلَا يَكُونُ مَذْكُورًا مَعَ الْآمِ. It is not mentioned or in what has been mentioned before we said it. It is not included in it. It's separate from it. Like when we said, سَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ, the angels all prostrated. There's no sense in that at all of Iblis. He's separate from it entirely. So it's not included in what came before at all, إِلَّا Iblis. He gives an example here. He said, oh no, he gives it a little bit later when he talks about this specifically. فَلْيَكُونُ مُفْرَدًا. It is separate, isolated. It is disconnected. It is its own thing. فَالْمُتَّصِلْ, the first of these, is ثَلَاثَةُ أَجْزَاء, three parts or three types, عَلَى مَا ذَكَرَ الْمُصَنِّفِ, according to what the Musannif mentions here. There are three different types of muttasil, connected qualifiers, things that qualify the generality of something in a connected fashion. He says here, the first of them is what's called istithna, which is literally translated as exception, which in English, you would just add the word except. In Arabic, you would add the word illa, usually, or siwa sometimes, and a few other words. نَحُ قَامَ الْقَوْمِ إِلَّا زَيْدًا. The people stood up except Zayd. Zayd is connected to what came before because he is a person. But he is, the statement, the people stood up, is qualified by the fact that one of them stayed sitting, namely Zayd. So when we, if I was to simply say Qam al-Qawm, that meant all of the people stood up. As soon as I qualify it by saying illa Zaydan, I have removed Zayd from that picture. Even though he meets the quality of being a person, he has gone against what everybody else has done, so that statement can no longer apply to him. So that's a qualifier, an example of a way. The other example is that we mentioned before, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Mankind is in loss, except for those who believe. So we are part of mankind, the believers. But that thing of being in loss is something that we don't have because of that belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in our hearts. وَثَانِيهَا, the second of them, التقييد بالشرط, qualifying something or restricting something by means of a shart, of a precondition or a requirement. نَحُو أَكْرِمْ بَنِي تَمِيمْ إِنْ جَاءُوكْ. So the example it gives here, أَكْرِمْ بَنِي تَمِيمْ, this means honor or treat well, give, be generous to the Banu Tamim, the tribe of Tamim. It's a general statement. So that means anybody from the Banu Tamim, wherever they are, you have to try and find a way to be generous to them. So, I mean, it's a general statement. He says here, but he qualifies it now. Inja'uk, if they come to you. In other words, you don't have to go to their house and be generous to them. If they come to you, then treat them generously. Otherwise, you have no obligation towards that. So that inja'uk, if they come to you, is another way of qualifying your statement, be generous to, honor. So it's not exactly the same as saying illa, it's that they have to meet this requirement for you to then have to do that thing for them. وَثَالِثُهَا, the third of these, التَّقْيِيد بِالصِّفَة, restricting or qualifying something by means of an attribute. نَحُو أَكْرِمْ بَنِي تَمِيمْ. Again, the same thing. أَكْرِمْ بَنِي تَمِيمْ, be generous to the Bani Tamim. Again, this applies to all of them. الْفُقَهَاءَ مِنْهُمْ أَوْ أَكْرِمْ بَنِي تَمِيمْ الْفُقَهَاءَ, be generous to the fuqaha, the people of fiqh, the jurists of the Banu Tamim. Doesn't, is now gone from being be generous to all of the Banu Tamim to being generous to those who meet this particular quality of being faqih. That's another way of specifying it. Like with the Banu Israel, where they were asked to slaughter a calf, they kept on trying to get more and more details and details and details until it became a very difficult task for them, because it became more and more specific when the command in the beginning was simply general. Sacrifice a calf or the calf. You could choose any calf that you wanted. But then they made it more and more specific until they had to find a specific one and look for it. And that was by the attributes being attached to it. Red or whatever it was, or a particular age, and so on and so forth. Ta'rif al-istithna. So the definition of istithna, exception. Istithna al-haqiqi, real exception, true exception. A al-muttasir, he says here, by real exception, he means accepting something from that was already in it out and placing it out of it. That's real exception. In other words, what we call muttasir. So when you have something and you have to take something out of it, you accept it from it, that's true exception. The other type, munfasil, like Iblis, is not considered haqiqi in the same way, although it's used in language a lot. So he says here, huwa ikhraju ma lawlahu ay lawla al-istithna la dakhala fil kilam. So it is excluding something that otherwise would be included. So it is ikhraj, excluding that which, were it not for it, he says here, were it not for the exception, the illa, would otherwise be included, would enter into the kalam. نحو المثال السابق, like he says the previous example we gave, ما قام القوم إلا زيد إلا زيدا. The people didn't stand up except for زيد. والاستثناء المتصل هو ما يكون فيه المستثنى بعد المستثنى منه. So he says here again, he's just stressing the point here. He's going into it in more detail. He says the mutasil form of exclusion is when the thing that is excluded is part of the thing from which it has been excluded, falls within it, lies within it. Is that clear? We've just gone through all the things. He's just saying it in another way. واحترزنا به عن المتصل. And by saying this, we exclude by means of us saying this that which is munfasil, which is separated, disconnected. وهو, and it is the definition of this, ما لا يكون فيه المستثنى بعض المستثنى منه. And that is something where the thing that is excluded is not part of what it is excluded from. It's separate from it entirely. It doesn't fall within it. Like the example of Iblis and the angels. Iblis is not among the angels. So that illa is considered to be munfasid, disconnected. He says here, example is probably a bit easier here. Nahu qam al qawmu illa himara. The people stood up except for a donkey. Is a donkey a form of person? I suppose if you're using it in a metaphoric sense, then potentially yes, but not in the real sense. I mean, you don't generally see, you know, donkeys sitting around drinking cups of coffee and discussing the week's news events. فليس من المخصصات. It is not a مخصص. It is not a particularizer. It doesn't actually affect. So this is it. The مخصص is something that affects or particularizes or qualifies what came before. He says here, when it's in munfasil, it doesn't. Because if I say, for example, the people stood up except for a donkey, that doesn't stop any of the people standing up. They still all stood up. So that does not qualify the statement the people stood up at all. وَإِنْ كَانَ الْمُصَنِّفْ سَيَذْكُرُهُ. Despite it not being a مُخَصِّص, we're talking about the خَاص, the particularizers or the qualifiers, he says here, the reason why the author mentions it here, على سبيل الاستدراج, by way of a digression, in order to be complete, in order to cover that particular topic, exception in its fullness. Because there will be times when you will see exceptions in the Quran and you might think, oh, that's qualified that statement. But he says, no. If it's munfasil, it hasn't qualified it. Don't be fooled. It's only when it's munfasil that it qualifies it. ولا بد في الاستثناء المنقطع أن يكون بين المستثنى والمستثنى منه ملابسة. So here he's saying that when you have this type of thing, you know, سجد الملائكة كلهم إلا إبليس, for example, all the angels prostrated except for Iblis, you can't really make a statement like that. It's not linguistically valid unless there's some form of connection between these things, even though they're not part of the same thing. So what was the connection there? That Iblis had been raised up from the jinn and was praying alongside the angels. So there is an indication of a connection, yes, but it cannot be considered to be included within the category. So that's an important thing, that you can't use this without any connection. He says here, كَمَا مَثَلْنَا, as in the example we gave, which was مَا قَامُ الْقَوْمُ إِلَّا حِمَارًا. The people did not stand except for a donkey. Now, donkeys are associated with people. People generally use them to carry their things and ride them and so on and so forth. So it makes sense that you might say that, because you might assume that people have got some donkeys alongside them when they are going about their business. So if you said that, you would probably put two and two together and you think, okay, we've got this situation where people have got their horses and their donkeys and they're all standing up, but one of the donkeys didn't bother. You could probably put that together. But he says here, you wouldn't say, فَلَا يُقَالُ قَامُ الْقَوْمُ إِلَّا ثُعْبَانًا. The people stood up except for a snake. Because there's no real connection in your mind between snakes and people, in the same way that there's a connection between donkeys and people. So he says here, in order to even use this particular form of exception, there needs to be some mulabasa, some connection between the two categories, a close and intimate connection, really. I think we should leave it there because we've had quite a long class. So are there any questions from any of that? I think it's quite self-explanatory, but maybe not. So, anyone online? Any questions? We're going to come into some specific rulings in some of these things in the next bit. How these relate to specific rulings? Because it will talk about Quran specifying Quran, Sunnah specifying or qualifying Quran, and Sunnah qualifying Sunnah, Quran qualifying Sunnah, Qiyas qualifying Quran, all those types of things will be mentioned in the next class, inshallah. Okay, well, we'll finish there, inshallah. بسير وبركاته بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم see you next time إن شاء الله